Father, again, we just thank you for prayer. We thank you that we have the ability to come directly to you and that you listen and that you answer. You don't always give us the answers we want, but you give us the answers that we need. And I ask that as we've gone through this study and continue, that you would help us to understand what prayer really is and to use it again, not just at scheduled times like before this meeting or at the end, but through the day as you bring things to our remembrance, as we see your creation around, that we would pause and spend time with you in prayer. Thank you for any others that may be coming. I ask that you would bring them along safely. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I think I printed it big enough today. I don't need my readers, but if I have to, I'll put them on. Tonight, in our time together, we're going to talk about Christ, the Holy Spirit, our helper in prayer. How the Holy Spirit helps us, how he works with us. And it's important for you to choose who will guide you, that you may be certain that they know the path better than you do. Now, Gail will remember a time with us in Nigeria. We had been told that we were going to a lake, had some little falls and different things, and somebody told us basically how to get there. But in Nigeria, you don't have street signs. You know, they say go up to this one, and when you see the tall tree that looks like this, turn right. And when you go down there, turn left. And, you know, after you pass a number of holes in the... that's the type of description you would get. But this one guy, we were sure we were close, but we didn't know. So we stopped and asked a gentleman, and I said, is this the way to Kura Falls? And do you know what he said? Yes. Now, we learned later that you have to ask your questions properly. Because if you say, is this the way to Kura Falls, they will always tell you yes, because they don't want to disappoint you and think that they don't know, especially this white face. So we went down several miles, and finally we realized we were probably not going in the right direction, turned around, went the exact opposite way, and we got there. But we learned that you need to ask your questions properly, like, how do you get to Kura Falls? Not, is this the way to Kura Falls? Because it's very easy. Now, if you say, how do you get to Kura Falls? They might say, I don't know. No, they might say, yeah, go down here and then hope that we get out of the way so they can leave. I don't know. But we need to learn to ask questions in a proper way. And I just think that how many times do we ever wonder if we're going in the right direction as we're looking? And if we're, as a believer, most likely we have feelings that are promptings by the Holy Spirit, who will always guide us to understand and accept the Father's will. He is the one speaking to your heart, warning you about dangers, and encouraging you to submit to God's purposes. He is a trustworthy guide who will never lead us astray and knows the path ahead much better than we do. And I'm going to have us look at a lot of verses this evening. And this time I didn't write it out as sometimes I do as homework. It's just you can call it a cheat guide or something. Just so that also those of you that are taking different forms of notes, we probably have 55 verses, I think, here. And you don't have to try to write them all down. Now, all the verses aren't printed here, but all the references are. So then, as you would like to later, you can go through and look at that. Okay, thanks, Scott. There's one there for him, too, though. Gail? Ask you to read 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13 and 16. I think that's on. Yep, it's on. Here you go. As we read in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, it's not by might nor by power, but my spirit. And that's an important thing for us to consider as we're looking at prayer. Or we read in James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. I'm going to ask Gail to read a portion for us. This isn't on your sheet, but it should be on the overhead in a moment. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13, and verse 16. There you go, Gail.
But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit.
Wait.
For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And then verse 16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Give it to Jerry. Because the Holy Spirit lives within you, we have God's constant presence and guidance. And I'm going to ask Jerry to read one other passage. This is found in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17 and 26.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
And then verse 20.
But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
And it's very important for us to understand that Jesus was sending the Holy Spirit to be with us permanently. And as we look at the sheet that I passed out to you, I have, I think there's 15 or so on that first part of how does the Holy Spirit help us? And I haven't printed out the words or the verses. I've given you the reference to it. You can look these up. But I'd like us to see the various ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. The first one, he draws us to the cross, revealing our need for forgiveness and demonstrating how to have faith in Christ as our Savior. And we see that in John chapter 15, verse 26. He gives us assurance of our salvation and testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. He guarantees our redemption, making us eternally secure by sealing us in Christ. He guides our steps and helps us discover the Lord's plans for us. He walks with us every step of the way, in becoming the children of God, helping and comforting us as we follow the Father. He teaches us the truth by helping us understand and apply Scripture. He reminds us of what we have learned, bringing verses and biblical principles to mind so that we can stay in the center of God's will. Have you ever been in a situation where something is happening and suddenly you remember a verse that you learned along? You may not remember the reference, but it's coming. And the Holy Spirit is the one that helps bring those things to our remembrance at the right time. I don't know how many times, you know, I tell my students about making mistakes and forgetting things. Don't worry about it. Just keep going. Keep working. I said, in a math class, you're going to make literally thousands of mistakes this year. So let's get started and get some of them out of the way. And sometimes we're waiting too long because we don't know. Get out there and get started. It's the same thing as we share our faith and whatever. If you wait for that circumstance to come just to you, you'll miss it. Get out there and be active in sharing Christ with people. And the Holy Spirit helps us from within with that. He convicts us of our sins so that we can repent of them and removes any hindrances to our intimate relationship with God. I don't know how many times I've sinned, and I know I have, but I've been convicted by it. And that's the Holy Spirit that's telling and working within me to try to say, Bob, you blew it here. And I already knew that I did, but that Holy Spirit likes to remind us. And I think too many times we try to say, oh, it wasn't that bad of a sin. No, sin is sin, and we need to make sure of that. He empowers us to accomplish God's will. I don't know if you, what you think about knowing God's will for your life. A lot of us say, but I don't know what God's will is. Yeah, a lot of times we don't yet, but we got to get started. And it's the same idea as tonight when we're done and it's dark outside and I'm getting ready to go. Now, I live right on Hirner Drive. I'm only 3.2 miles that way. So it's not that far, but I get out here on the road or I get in my car and it's dark and I can't see. I turn the headlights on and that only shows me about 40, 50 yards. And I can't see my house. And I could get discouraged and say, but Lord, I don't know where I'm going. I get to see what I need to see, and I don't have to see all those other things. And you know, as you get that car and you get started and you get moving with it, it lets you see a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and you see all that you need to see. If I knew going down there that there was a car coming this way, I was going, you know, I might say, I might get hit. No, just keep going, and God will show you a little bit at a time what you need and guide you to that. And it's the Holy Spirit working within a believer to lead you to that and show you what that is. He helps us to share good news of salvation with others. I just had mentioned that earlier. He equips us to minister to others and gives us spiritual gifts so that we can serve the body of Christ. Gives to us spiritual gifts. What are those gifts? They'll vary for each and every one of us. God created us. He made us for the people we are, and he knows which gifts I need and what I'm good at. And don't say, well, I wish I had the gift that so-and-so has over here. No, God gave you the gifts that you need and prepared you for that specifically. He equips us to minister to others. Oh, that's one I just read. He produces eternal fruit in us and through us. And the next one is one I use all the time. He helps us to pray, interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. I don't know about you, but many times I've been in situations where I said, but Lord, I don't even know how to pray for this. I don't know, not only I'm not sure what your will is, but how do I pray for that? And that passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, the Holy Spirit takes my petitions to God and explains them in a way that's too deep for me to understand. But he does that for me. And it's just such a neat thing to see what the Holy Spirit does to help us. He searches us, seeking out the wounds that must be healed and the sinful habits that must be expelled. And he makes us into new people, transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, I listed all those references there for you. You can, during your time, together with the Lord and stuff, look up those. If there's one particular phrase or something that means something to you, go and look up those scripture passages. This wasn't just me recording all this and saying, well, here it is, you have to accept it. Go to scripture. See what scripture says and how it enhances that. And as we continue to look at the Holy Spirit, he is our strength in our weaknesses. He helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray. But as we said, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He searches our hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And that's in Romans 8 again. The Apostle Paul faced many things. If we look at his life, he faced lashes and imprisonments, dangers all along the way. He faced terrible difficulties during each of his missionary journeys, including being stoned almost to death at Lystra, at the center of a riot in Ephesus, and having to leave behind his beloved churches in order to suffer in Jerusalem. In constant peril, separated from his loved ones, threatened on every side, and buffeted by innumerable trials, he had good reason to be disheartened. Lord, each time I try this, something happens. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been so covered by troubles that hopelessness takes over? You struggle to find a reason to keep fighting, but you are so tired and overwhelmed that you just want to give up. Well, as we look at Paul, despite all his adversity, he continues to trust God, and we should too. God knows what is happening. Be assured that the Helper sees the depth of our difficulties, and he comforts you with knowledge that he understands what you need. I remember before we went to Nigeria thinking how wonderful it was going to be. And I was so excited about the opportunity to do that. And the first night we landed, we got off a plane. We're in this place we don't know anything about. We have all of this stuff, and we go to where we're supposed to stay, and there's no power. There's just nothing. They had a little candle that we could see, and that might be good because I don't know if they knew we were coming and what they fed us. I don't know that I needed to know what that was, but it tasted good at that time. And then I remember getting up in the night, and it's still black, and as I'm going over here to the bathroom, you hear these crunches underneath your feet, these little cockroaches that are fairly good size, and you hear that crunch. And I thought, Lord, what did I just get my family into? And then we had a long, about a five-hour van ride to get down to the city we were in. And I remember when we got to that city, there were lights. And I was so excited to have power. And as we pulled on to where we were going to be staying, we saw this young lady come running across the area to us. And Beej was kind of our mentor, and a relationship that built between her family and ours. And just we're still, we went on several Murray Beecham glorious adventures where we would just take off and go sometimes. But we had fun together. But it was through the Holy Spirit encouraging and saying, Bob, don't get discouraged. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And I caution all of us, don't let Satan discourage you from the things God would have you to do. Keep going and ask. The Spirit will help. And I think one of the important things that we need to do is to obey his prompting. I'm going to ask, I didn't write this one out, if someone could read for us Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. And I'll grab the mic here from Jerry. Chapter 5, 16 to 25.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
And Paul learned to deal with his troubles in God's way, rather than the ways of the world. When we experience difficulty, our human nature tries to express or quench it in ungodly ways too many times, through possessions, addictions, immorality. However, Paul realized that if he listened to the Spirit, handling his adversary as Christ would, he would be set free from the worries and discouragements of life. You can too. You can crucify the desires of the flesh, those things that subtly try to destroy you and cause you a heartache, by learning to walk in the Spirit and obeying. To walk in the Spirit means obeying his initial promptings. You do so by going through each day aware of the Holy Spirit's presence with you. You admit to him as you feel him pulling in a certain direction or tugging your heart to take a particular course of action, even if you do not quite understand why he is doing that. For example, you may be convicted to drop a conversation or turn away from a television program or leave a place that is questionable. Whatever it is, do so immediately, and the Spirit is warning you about that temptation to sin that you may be unable to resist unless you obey him instantly. Perhaps there is someone that comes to your mind during the day. You know he or she is going through a very difficult time and could use some support. Pause right then and call or write to that person. The Spirit will give you the right words to encourage him or her. He wants to minister to that person through you and is sure to bless you as you do so. And I would ask you to stop and think, even now for just a moment in your own life, is there someone that you know that could use a word of encouragement, that would be so excited to have a call, or depending who they are, a text or a tweet, all that other stuff, that you would contact them or even stop in and visit them. Now, when we first came back from Nigeria, we got in trouble several times because in Nigeria, if you want to see someone, we didn't have all these other phones and all that stuff, and you would just go over and stop in and visit them. When we first came back, I remember we just were driving by someplace. Somebody lives here. We'd stop in and just see them. And they'd say, oh, you didn't call. Why didn't you call and tell us? And I said, but what were you going to do, just clean the house quickly or something? I mean, we wanted to see you. We don't care. We can stay outside. I don't care what it is. But we wanted to see you. And I think that's something that we don't do enough here, to just stop in and see somebody. We have shut-ins. We have others that someone's not doing well that would just love to have someone stop in and talk to them. Take those promptings from the Spirit and at least contact them in some way and see, you know, or can I bring you, we have our, what do we call it, the meal train, when someone has been sick or something, and it's been fun to see those people when we take them a meal or something. They're so excited. And I think we need to do that. And I'd also like to look at a living conversation. If we recall back in 1 Kings chapter 6, there was a situation where Elisha was there with his servant. And his servant came to him and said, "What are we going to do? There's people all around us." And what did Elisha say to him? He said, "Do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He was able to see that heavenly throng that was there supporting them. But a lot of times we fear because we don't trust in God, that God is taking care of that. And here was a case where Elisha's servant got to see that firsthand. And while the servant saw that the enemy was encamped, he perceived a greater spiritual reality. God was fighting the battle for them. He remained confident and secure. Likewise, the more you obey the Spirit and the closer you draw to the Father, the stronger your faith and assurance. And if you'll flip your page over on the backside, I gave us five things, and these are prayers. Here I actually gave you the scripture, not only the passage, but I'd like us to read through some of these prayers that we can pray using scripture. In Psalm 23, verse 4, it says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." What were the rod and staff used for? Guiding sheep? Oh, discipline, huh? I remember when I needed to be disciplined, my dad would say, "Go out there, son," and there we had a willow tree, and he said, "Select your switch." Now, how do you do that? Do you get a big one that, you know, or do you get a little one that? But I think of that rod and staff. They're to guide, but they're also to discipline and to show us some things that we need to do. Or in Psalm 27, verses 1 and 3, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though wars arise against me, in this I will be confident." The Lord is my light. Much of the time in Nigeria, a good day was 9 hours of power. And so we did a lot of things. We learned to do things by candlelight. And I might have homework that I need to do for school. And, you know, I couldn't type on the computer or whatever. So my plan was I would turn the light on and then I would go to bed. And then when light came on at 2 or 3 in the morning, I could get up and I could do it. But think what light allows us to do. It allows us to see, to accomplish things, but also see that it shows what we're doing. How many times have we done something kind of in the dark because we didn't want anybody to know? Or it may not have been dark, but we were away so nobody could see. And it says here, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Or in Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the world should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. We will not fear." Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by the day. Under his wings. I know Matt and Jamie have chickens, and you think of a mama hen and things that they do to protect their little ones when they can. And they bring those wings out and cover them up. We can be under the wings of God. He will protect us. He will cover us no matter what. And I just think it's so important that we learn that and then we seek to obey it. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. All of this does not mean that if we walk by the Spirit, you'll never be afraid. Nor does it signify that you'll automatically see the Lord's angelic hosts. The point is, when you engage in that ultimate conversation with the Father, in a real and living way, you begin to know and understand things that are apparent only to those who understand the depths of the Holy Spirit. As God says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. But it begins by calling to him, and he will answer. And like I say, he doesn't always show us what we want, you know. And prayer is not, let's make a deal. Lord, if you will do this, I can do this. No. It's coming along and then obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit. If you bow your heads with me, let's pray for a moment. Father, how grateful we are for your tremendous love and the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that as a believer is in our hearts and is there to lead and to guide. You have done so many things in preparing us for daily life. Things that we may not know yet, but things that there are there for us to learn. We can wake up each day knowing that you are with us and live by the assurance of your favor, that you are there and that you're working. Father, our desire is to walk with your Spirit moment by moment, each and every minute of the day. Teach us how to respond to your promptings and respond immediately. Don't wait, not hold back, but respond now in obedience. Show us how to rely more on you every hour of the day, that we can grow deeper in our relationship with you. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.